Hello, .NET readers, listeners, and members. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the WWE 205 Live show that aired December 19th, 2017 on the WWE Network. After the ad break for non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review of 205 Live, which featured a main event of Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander. Now we're back. And I'll go into my quick recommendation, as I usually do. And just as usual for 205 Live, if you missed this show, you didn't really miss anything of any real importance. I'm sure next week on Raw you'll get a quick video package or something to get you up to speed on all things Soul Train. That said, the Hideo Itami debut was pretty good. And the main event of the show, remember the Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander one, was surprisingly good, given how lame it sounds. Because, remember, last week we got an Enzo Amore versus Tony Nese. This week, Cedric Alexander's there, so you know at least one half is going to be good. But Drew Gulak showed up this week, and it was surprisingly good. Again, grading on the curve of 205 Live obscurity. Now, as far as the crowd this week, they seem to be a little worse than the crowd last week, where they didn't chant boring this week, so WWE should be happy at that, but they were mostly dead throughout. They did get to chanting that the show should be deleted again, which WWE shouldn't be happy of. And speaking of such, last week in my written review, I said one of the best ways that WWE can repair 205 Live is to bring in broken Matt Hardy so that he can come in with Vanguard 1 and delete the show, because the show needs to be deleted and wiped out of all space and time, as Matt Hardy would say. And what did they end up doing? They ended up putting Matt Hardy on the 205 live shows. So I don't think they're listening to my reviews, but they're just coming to the same conclusion that this show sucks. I mean, they even released that survey where they asked the viewers, why does this show suck? I mean, it's kind of obvious if you watch it even two episodes in a row and notice that nothing goes anywhere. But yeah, this show needs a huge reboot. This show needs to go away and come back as something new. Anyway, before I get into, I'm just going to move along from there. It's time to get to my actual review. And another note, just before we get into the review, we did get the debut of Hideo Itami. We did not get the debut of Rockstar Spud, even though it's reported that he's backstage for Raw and for 205 Live. Hoping he gets put on the show when they actually feel like they're going to do something with the show, because Rockstar Spud is one of the best promos in professional wrestling, and I'm totally confident in saying that. He's someone who could play a very strong babyface and a very strong pest heel. I just think his talents would be much better suited for WWE NXT, or even Raw or SmackDown, if someone needs a stooge, or if you need a really good underdog story. The guy is deceptively good, despite how tiny he is. Anyway, yeah, I shouldn't be talking about Rockstar Spud now until he shows up, but if you would like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review, which is posted on the main page of ProWrestling.net. I use it as an outline, so you can use it as a reading guide or to skip around on the audio if you so wish. Now, without further ado, let's get into the audio review. I'm much happier this week. Last week, it was so depressing because, yeah, at least I get a good, decent main event this week and Hideo Itami debuting, even though I wish Hideo Itami wasn't on this show because he deserves better. This week's episode 205 Live aired right after SmackDown Live, because it's called 205 Live, December 19th, It was aired live December 19th, 2017, on the WWE Network in Newark, New Jersey, at the Prudential Center. Before the intro theme aired, they aired the usual teaser, which has been to recap the events of Raw. It was to recap the Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak match, where Cedric Alexander defeated Drew Gulak to become number one contender to the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Then the theme aired, with all those lame interjections to replace the Rich Swann parts. I mean, they're not lame, they were just hilarious, where you have like Akira Tozawa with a shield, or what do you call it? Noam Dar shooting fire out his mouth, because they took Rich Swann out of the intro theme. And Vic Joseph and Nigel McGuinness checked in on commentary. Nigel talked about how this episode had the most anticipated debut in 205 Live history. Also called the guy the Don from Nihon. Nihon or Nippon is another word for Japan. It's what Japanese call Japan. That's, yeah, exactly. Hideo Tami's debuting. And as I said, for some reason they're doing Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak again. I don't know why they're doing it, because they did it the prior night. It's because they don't have enough over heels or baby faces or anything to do anything with. Kalisto made his entrance. He did his lucha thing, and as I noted, he filling in for Sin Cara is the other mouthless luchador, Gran Metalik. And who did you expect these two guys to face? Because they've been facing them for months. It was the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher, who came out cutting a promo, just mocking the luchadors. And the first match of the night was the Kalisto and Gran Metalik versus the Brian Kendrick and gentleman Jack Gallagher. And this match was what you, pretty much what you expected between the two. Pretty methodical from the heels, and some high flying from the luchadors, not too much. So the match wasn't that great overall. And the finish happened where you had it was Kalisto ultimately hitting Salida del Sol on Jack Gallagher, and Kendrick ran in and broke it up, and then they put the boots to Kalisto, causing Rudy Charles, the referee, to end the match in disqualification because Brian Kendrick was the illegal man and he wouldn't break the five count. After the match, you had a beatdown, and I believe we've seen this before. Gallagher gave Kalisto a headbutt, and they sandwiched Metalik's leg between the ring post and steel steps, and then slammed it into his leg. So injury angle, or maybe something that Grand Metalik might show up next week. Who knows? I don't really care about this feud, and the crowd didn't either. But the crowd didn't care about anything all night because they knew what they were in for. It's 205 Live. But where I'm disappointed is the match was fine. If this so, this match would have been fine if you cared about any of the characters. The heels are gr had the potential to be great, but they do nothing to build them. Kendrick is the only guy who's protected, but they still don't do anything for him as far as the storyline is concerned. Jack Gallagher and Kendrick had a very good storyline. It led to the Gallagher heel turn, and all Gallagher has done since the heel turn is lose matches, or has been the guy who would take the losses on behalf of Brian Kendrick. So much potential there, but this show's hopeless. And Kalisto, as much as I get on him for being a dork and talking about Eddie Guerrero all the time, he's a very talented wrestler. He has main event quality in ring, and that's not me being hyperbolic. He can be as good as, say, a Rey Mysterio. His promos are just not his strength, but neither were Rey Mysterio's. They just don't put Rey in positions to cut lame promos, and Rey doesn't do that lame lucha thing. And Kalisto didn't have to do the lame lucha thing too. When he was on Raw, so when he was on SmackDown, he cut the weird "I'm gonna do lucha things" promo that everything went downhill from there. He just became the whipping boy for Baron Corbin. But on Raw, they had him beat Braun Strowman that one time, and they had him play more of a stoic ninja type, similar to Drago from Lucha Underground, and Kalisto even had a dragon mask, which was interesting. It worked. He wasn't. Oh, he was still doing the lucha thing, but he wasn't overdoing it. He would also do this thing where it looks like he's shooting a Kamehameha wave. If anyone gets the DBC reference, I make them on occasion. But Kalisto was very solid there, and for some reason, and they gave him new entrance music. But for some reason, they decided to regress into his Lucha Dragon lame counterpart that the kids aren't even getting into. Kalisto is on the ring apron. He's trying to do his lucha thing, and no one, and it's, he's getting embarrassed because no one's biting on it. And sometimes people even cheer when he gets beat up. It's everything here is counterintuitive. Everything that they're doing with Kalisto, Jack Gallagher, Brian Kendrick, and Gran Metalik is one of the best luchadors in Mexico. And here he's just enhancement talent. It's disappointing. Thing to note is after the match you had Kalisto selling Payne on the ground, and a fan threw a water bottle in his face, which they caught on the camera. Which, whatever. I'm not a huge fan of it. Fans shouldn't really be throwing stuff at the wrestlers, especially if it was worse than the water bottle. But thank God it was kind of just a water bottle. Moving along, we had. The latest Soul Train segment in the locker room. This has become norm. They don't even give Enzo Amore in-ring segments anymore. He just stands side by side with the Soul Train. So, you know, you stand at a weird 90-degree angle while you're talking to your friends. And because you need to show up on the camera. It's totally unnatural. And Kevin Dunn, this screen, this whole skit backstage just screams Kevin Dunn production. Kevin Dunn does some great things in production, but there's some things that he doesn't break from that it's what gets the casual viewers to go pro wrestling is fake. Yes, but yeah, we've seen this every week. He yells at the Soul Train for losing matches because that's what they do. They're the heels of 205 Live, so they always lose. Gulak tried to get all the blame on himself. Then he fired himself up, and Enzo was impressed by Drew Gulak being inspired and said Daivari should be as inspired. So there we go. Soul Train. It rhymes with Soul Train, and it's all the heel J Brones of 205 Live. They're not J Brones. It's 205 Live presents them as Jumping J Brones. 205 Live. Maybe I should take the break now to talk about .NET membership. I'll do that. I'll take a little break from my audio review, and trust me, it gets better on 205 Live from here, which is why I decided to hit the reset so I can just like wipe out some of this negativity of 205 Live. The whole show is negative. Even moving along, it's still negative, but at least we got some good segments going forward. But I'll take a break to talk about .NET membership with you guys. For the price of $7.50 a month, you can get full access to the member site. So you get my 205 Live audio here. You may get it once or twice a month. It's usually leaning more onto once a month, but sometimes we need to spread out some of our audios and want to give you more of a sampling of certain audios. So you might get my audios for any of these shows twice a month. But note that the .NET members get all of our audio reviews every single day. So we've reviewed Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground when it's in season. We cover all the major pro wrestling shows that run first time air first run material in the United States. We also cover all the pay-per-views. Jason Powell and Jake Barnett this past weekend covered the WWE Clash of Champions pay-per-view. Also, Jason Powell did do an audio review of the Ring of Honor or of the or Final Battle show, which also aired recently. What has become the hot topic at .NET is our roster evaluations. Those are usually our most well-received long-form audios of the year, and we're in the middle of that season, so now is the time to become a .NET member. What I mean by a roster evaluation, well, it's sort of imagine if you watch or if you watch the NFL, watch NBA, they're scouting reports. So we, all of the to Jason Powell and all the .NET staffers, we go over all the individual rosters, every single member of those rosters, and go over their strengths, go over their weaknesses, go over some background details we may know about them, whether or not they're going to leave the company or if they're being pushed by the company, all the details. We've gotten through about three roster evaluations now. So all of them went over 2 hours. I think Raw went 4 hours, if I remember correctly. We did the Ring of Honor. We did SmackDown. We did Raw. And the reason I bring this up is, if, unless anything changes, the plan is to do the NXT roster evaluation this week. I'll be recording it with Jason on Thursday, so we will get it out to you on Thursday or Friday morning. But note that we're doing the NXT roster evaluations, and you won't get that if you're not a member. We might give you a sampler, so we'll give you like A through C or something. But note that we go A through Z, as in said, as far as roster evaluations are concerned. Join .NET especially to check out the roster evaluations. If you're not a member, last week we did post. I did mention how we post samplers, so you can check out how we do those roster evaluations, and those are a good taste as to what you get with your $7.50 membership. And there's way more to that. You get ad-free access. You get form access. You get a lot. You get access to everything. You get audio reviews to all the wrestling shows every day, as opposed to randomly. So you get there's some sense of continuity. I don't have to linger too much on this. If I did, I can go on and on about how much you get from being a .NET member. If you try us out for a month and want to try us out for a year and just not worry about it, you can bring down your price to around $5.50 a month. It's the annual option. So $7.50 a month if you try it monthly, $5.50 on average if you take us up on the annual. With that said, try us out a month. If you like it, you'll like it. Trust me, you'll like it if you like wrestling audio. And that's it. I'll move back to the 205 Live audio review. After the commercial break, WWE, Vic Joseph was bragging on behalf of WWE about their 20 million YouTube subscribers. Seriously, like who? For one, who? What? Like, why would you just subscribe to WWE's YouTube channel? Your feed would just be loaded with random match clips and stuff. It's totally against YouTube's recommended posting recommendations. But anyway, and they always brag how they have more than the NFL, UFC, NBA on NASCAR combined. But yeah, and as I mentioned, like who would subscribe to NFL, what do you call it, NHL, NBA, all those stuff combined? Especially when those sites actually promote their own video services against YouTube. It's weird. It sounds great, but when you really think of it, it's not too great. The next match of the night was Hideo Itami's debut. He was facing former WWE ECW jobber Colin Delaney. He doesn't. He looks less of a jobber right now. He kind of looks like a man now. He used to look like a little kid when he was on ECW, but now he has some muscle definition and he cut the hair. But this is his second time in WWE recently. He was just bludgeoned by the Bludgeon Brother like about a week ago, and this week he got bludgeoned by Hideo Itami. It was a Hideo Itami squash match. A bunch of kicks, a lot of signature offense from Hideo Itami. And he hits the go to sleep for the victory in 1:51. Also, the story of this match was Hideo Tommy throughout the match would yell, "Respect me," and like, "I'm here, respect me." It's standard Hideo Tommy fare, but a lot of you haven't seen Hideo Tommy, especially if you're not watching WWE NXT. But if you're watching 205 Live on that network, why aren't you watching NXT? That's the much better show on the network. But Hideo Tommy is picking up right where he left off on NXT, where he to so when he came into WWE, he was more of your traditional pro wrestler with a few kicks. But now he's starting to lean on the kicks and starting to lean on the Muay Thai, lean on the stiff shots. He's coming off as, say, 205 Live's version of Samoa Joe because of their similar rings, this moveset and similar demeanor. Hideo Tommy has also vastly improved as far as his facial expressions are concerned. He's looking more mean and not pandering to the crowd. He's playing a babyface now, but this is what he was doing on NXT right before he turned heel, where he started adding more of an edge to him, where he started acting a little bit more natural. What made it a bit more natural was he seems pissed off, and the reason he's pissed off is because every time he comes back, he gets injured. And they were telling that story well on NXT. And then it just boiled up so much that he turned heel because of it. And he's the type of heel that doesn't cheat to win. He just beats up like people that you like so badly and that you're like, stop, be ready, beat him. He's picking up where he left off just as a baby face. I eventually hope he turns heel because he was doing such a great job on NXT. They just moved him up a bit quickly. I mean, it's not a bit quickly. He's been in there for like 2 years. No. It is quickly because most of those 2 years he was on the shelf. During his last run on NXT, he was doing pretty good. I think he would be better served on, say, SmackDown right now. If you're not going to move Samoa Joe to SmackDown, have Hideo Tommy be SmackDown Samoa Joe. They have a similar moveset, they do similar things, and they're just straight up very good. 205 Live is not very good, but it was a good debut, and I hope. This show is hopeless, but. Keeping a little hope alive that they tried to do something. They're trying to do things, but they're just not doing the right things. Dasha Fuentes interviewed Enzo Amore backstage. She asked about, well, like, why did the Soul Train attack Tony Nese? And he said he was just delivering on his word and trying to teach the Soul Train a lesson. Cedric Alexander comes in, says he has one word for Enzo, in regards to the SAWFT thing, but then Enzo responded that the one word is champion. So, paint by numbers backstage segment. It could be good, but because this is 205 Live, it's not good. We were then taken to the commercial break. During the commercial, by the way, there was a WWE Raw Christmas commercial. I promise you this, I'm not gonna watch Raw next year, next Christmas. Next week's Christmas episode. It's featuring free agent John Cena. That's a part of his name now because he can go on both shows. He's free agent John Cena. Enzo Amore made his entrance, and Drew Gulak was with him. He did his certified G routine. Let's see. Drew Gulak was acting super inspired and said that Enzo Amore is his mentor and friend, and that he's going to beat up Cedric Alexander because nobody messes with the Soul Train. Yeah, and it was at this point where I was like, we're getting a Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander main event. It was at this point where I thought, and I'm serious on this one, the Matt Hardy thing was a joke, and they took that seriously. This one is, they should really just get a big bag of cash. So as a bonus for Adrian Neville to bring him back to 205 Live, because at least when he was the main eventer of the show, you had something to look forward to. Even if it was Adrian Neville versus what you got Tony Nese or something, Neville was that good and like immune to the 205 Live stank. That is 205 Live. See, just this show is developing into TNA, where they had that word TNA stank. It was something like TNA is synonymous with bad wrestling. 205 Live is starting to get into that TNA level, if you will. So yeah, they should bring back Neville or something. I mean, they should do a lot of things. They should hit a huge reset button on the show and actually care about the show. But at least at one point they had Neville at the top, and you were guaranteed a strong main event. And when he had a main event program with a Austin Aries, with a Akira Tozawa, and even with Enzo Amore, you were just guaranteed that you would get some good work that got some focus on them. It was the undercard that was terrible. Now the main event's terrible because they're not protecting Enzo Amore at all. They shouldn't, kind of, because he's the chicken heel. But they treat him as a joke, just like every other heel on 205 Live. And yeah, like, why should you really watch? The heels suck, and the baby faces people don't care about because they just beat up on these poor, defenseless heels. The main event match of the night, on the other hand, was Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander for nothing on the line because, like, why are we even getting this match? But this match was really good, surprisingly. So the match started off with Drew Gulak just hitting strong palm strikes, elbows, very, like, stiff shots that you don't usually see him rely on. He usually, even on the indie scene, would always rely on chain wrestling and like joint manipulation. I always called him a boring version of Zack Sabre Jr. Tonight he kind of wrestled like Zack Sabre Jr. would by integrating some very strong strikes and had a very unique submission sequence where he turned an ankle lock into an STF into a surfboard. Drew Gulak showed up tonight, and Cedric Alexander doesn't always show up. I mean, I would understand not showing up to 205 Live. The show's not good. But Cedric Alexander did show up tonight, and he had a good match on his end as well. The end of the match, though, was also a well-told story. So you had Cedric Alexander going for a superplex, but Drew Gulak pushing him off. Of course, Drew Gulak has the whole no-fly zone thing, so he was super scared and super hesitant on the top rope, which allowed Cedric Alexander to take advantage of the hesitation and hitting Drew Gulak with the lumbar check to pick up the win over Drew Gulak. So Cedric Alexander hit Drew Gulak with the lumbar check to defeat him via pinfall in 11 minutes and 50 seconds. After the match, you had Enzo try to distract Cedric Alexander so Daivari could come in and blindside him. Alexander caught Daivari with lumbar check as the So Train guys just retreated like a couple of punks because all heels suck on 205 Live. But the match was really good. Surprising on Drew Gulak's end because he's usually boring, and he was not boring here. Cedric Alexander, not boring, I'm repeating myself. But it was a good match. Enzo Amore versus Cedric Alexander, not looking forward to. As good as a match he got out of Drew Gulak, but that's because Drew Gulak has some talent. Enzo has talent too on the microphone, but he is still getting there in the ring. Most of his matches just consist of him running in circles outside of the ring. There's no storytelling there. There's just stalling. This show is, yes, Enzo Amore right now is like, he does represent 205 Live. This show is just the epitome of stalling. I'm not gonna rant. Members heard me last week, just all broken and depressed. I understand. Now I totally understand why Matt Hardy was broken, except he was kayfabe broken. I may be real. I'm not real broken, trust me. There's nothing wrong going in my life yet. But this show sucks. 205 Live sucks. They need to hit a reset button. They have some good talent there. naming two of the new incoming guys, Hideo Tami, Rockstar Spud, are two of the best in the world at what they do. But they're going to be put on one of the worst shows of at what it does. It sucks, 2055 does. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow with a much happier NXT audio review. I'm always looking forward to that, but this upcoming NXT is going to be very good. We're going to get Red Dragon versus Sanity and a rematch of the match of the year between Tyler Bate, or one of the match of the year, the one of the highly acclaimed match of the year candidates in Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne. So with that said, I'll leave you to, and thank you so much. Make sure to check out .NET membership if you're not a member. And if you're a member, thank you so much for being members. Because of you guys that we put this out every day. That's it. Happy holidays, guys, and have a nice one. Bye-bye.